People this morning, welcome them to Word of Life Church. Tell them how glad you are that they were able to make it this morning. We are so glad that each and every one of you were able to come out, and we've got a special treat for you this morning. We've got a pastor with us who pastors a church in Alexandria, Louisiana. Do we have any people from Louisiana this morning in here? Oh, we got a couple of hands. We won't hold it against you, but no, I'm kidding. We love Louisiana. Love all that good food and cooking and all of those wonderful things, but we've got a pastor here today from Alexandria, Louisiana. They pastor a marvelous church there called Christian Worship Center. If you're ever in the area over there, make sure you check them out. But you won't have to go anywhere this morning to check them out because they are right here with us. For those of you who are in our youth program, then you know them because you've gone to our youth camps and they speak there and we attend actually the event they put on. But with that, they're just wonderful ministers of the Word of God, pastor a great church, and I know you'll be honored and privileged to hear them today. Would you please give Pastor Aaron Hankins this morning a warm Jackson, Mississippi welcome.
Hallelujah. All right. Well, it's great to be here this morning. The Lord is good. Everybody just say this. Say, the Lord has been, currently is, and always will be really good to me. Anybody actually believe that this morning? All right, I'll make you a little uncomfortable this morning. Look at the person right next to you. Come on, point at them right in their beady, shifty eyeballs. Come on, make them a little. Say, the Lord has been, he currently is, and always will be really good to you. You should get happy about it. All right, I want you to find one more person. This is the person you did not want to look at the first time. We all know this. Point at them right in their beady, shifty eyeballs and say, the Lord has been, he currently is, and always will be really good to you. You should put a smile on your face. Hallelujah. Well, certainly me and my wife's honor and privilege to be here. She's right here on the first row. This is my wife, Pastor Erin Cody Hankins. Give her a big hand. She's just waving right over there. And she ministered last night, did a great job, and we're excited to be with you. We love your pastors. We love this church family, love your youth. Been able to minister to them, as your pastor mentioned a few times at our youth camp. Anyway, just wonderful things. We feel like this is a home away from home for us as far as your church, and just wonderful to be here this morning and expecting great things. Hallelujah. Amen. I am from Louisiana, so we got any Who Dat fans out there? Can we get a little Who Dat? Black and gold, maybe next year. Hallelujah. Black and gold to the Super Bowl. We'll see. We need help, and we need, anyway. So I'm also a big LSU fan. Any LSU fans out there, right? What are y'all fans? What? Go Tigers. That's right. G-E-A-U-X. Go Tigers. What are y'all a fan of around here anyway? She said Jesus. Well, Jesus always wins, so that's probably the best. Amen. Let's get right into the Word this morning. If you have your Bibles, that's better. The first service, they said Mississippi State, so I guess Jesus is better than Mississippi State. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. I don't mind if y'all amen me real good or, you know, say preach, white boy, preach, or, you know, give it to me. However you want to give it, that's fine. I'll accept it. It'll be all right. Romans 14 and verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17, reading from the New King James Version of the Bible this morning, says it this way: for the kingdom of God isn't meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, or joy in the Holy Spirit. For the kingdom of God isn't meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You could say that the kingdom of God is made up of these three things, or the DNA of the kingdom of God is found in these three things, which is what? Righteousness, or right standing with God. Actually, we have right standing with God through faith in what Jesus has done for us on the cross when he shed his blood, and then he was raised again on the third day after he died. How many of y'all have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. So we have right standing with God through Jesus Christ. Then it says that we have peace. That word peace, really the word he's saying is shalom. That means we have nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken in our life. We have peace with God, but really we can have peace, restoration, and the blessing of God in every area of our life. That's the gospel. That's good news, y'all. Amen. But the third thing he says is joy in the Holy Spirit. And so many times we miss out on that aspect of serving the Lord. In fact, Psalm 100 verse 2, it says to serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. So that means those of us who serve the Lord, those who of us who are in his kingdom, there ought to be this ingredient in our life. What is it? Gladness. Joy in the Holy Spirit. That means as Christians, as people who serve the Lord are in the kingdom of God, and if you're not a Christian, if you haven't committed to serve the Lord, I'm telling you, there's no greater joy than serving God and loving Jesus. Amen. But come on, if y'all are saved, some of y'all should amen to that, right? All right, good. Praise the Lord. So if you are in the kingdom of God, then that means there ought to be some joy in your life, and there ought to be some evidence of it in your life. I mean, Christians, believers ought to be the happiest people around. They ought to be easy to spot at the grocery store. They ought to be easy to spot at Walmart. They ought to be easy to spot wherever you shop, wherever you're going. Right, because there's something on the inside of them that is great joy, that is evidence in their lifestyle with the smile on their face and their attitude and everything that they do. Now, doesn't mean that life is always easy or that everything is perfect all the time. I think everybody in here would agree that just because you committed to serve the Lord doesn't mean that everything goes perfect all the time. In fact, many times after you commit to serve the Lord, you'll find out that you run into all kind of new difficulties and new challenges. And so just because you commit to serve the Lord doesn't mean everything is always peaches and cream, so to speak. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Peaches and cream. All right. Sounds good, doesn't it? All right. So anyway, but in the kingdom of God, there should be this evidence in our life. There should be some joy in our life. Now, in Luke chapter 10, verse 17, it's a very good passage, very interesting concerning joy and why we should have joy. Luke 10:17 says it this way. It says, then the 70 returned with joy. And he's talking about the disciples that Jesus had sent out to be a laborer for the kingdom of God, bring people into the kingdom of God, to believe on him. And it says that the 70 returned after doing that. They returned with what? Joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Basically, they're saying, man, we're so excited. We're pumped. It's been great. It's just like you said it was going to be, Jesus. I mean, we're casting out devils. All kind of crazy stuff's going on. I mean, awesome stuff is happening, right? He says, but Jesus says this, and he said to them, verse 18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Basically, what he's saying is, in the kingdom of God, you're serving me. I've given you power and authority. I mean, you're going to whoop the devil everywhere you go. Now, that's good news. But then he kind of turns it on him a little bit. He says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this. Basically, they come back with a smile on their face, and he says, take the smile off your face. Then what does he tell them? He says, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Don't rejoice because the demons are subject to you, but rejoice. So what did he tell them? Put the smile back on your face. Don't smile about everything that went perfect today, but I'm going to give you a reason to have joy even when things don't go perfect. Now, if you know anything about the disciples and some of the challenges that they faced even after Jesus went to heaven, you know they faced some difficult times in their life. Great challenge, persecution, went through a lot of difficult things in their life. And so Jesus is giving them a reason and giving them an eternal perspective to have joy no matter what they face as they're preaching the gospel everywhere that they go. Amen. Well, if they're only filled with joy when everything's going great, well, then, goodness, you're only going to be filled with joy when everything just goes perfectly for you, right? I mean, be like me, you know, if I'm pastoring, you know, and I'm pastoring a church and we have a Easter Sunday and there's, you know, 5,000 people there and, you know, everything's going great and the next day pay my house off and somebody gives me a new car and my wife is treating me really good, which she always does, and my kids are making perfect grades in school, right? Everything's going, right? It's easy to have joy when everything is just perfect as far as circumstances go. But the joy of the Lord will help you to have joy when there's no reason to have joy. What is he saying here? He says, because your names are written in heaven, you can have joy. Now, that means this. If you believe on Jesus, you've made him the Lord of your life, then every single day of your life, you have a reason to have a smile on your face, to have a pep in your step, to wake up and say, man, God is good to me. He saved me from hell. Heaven is my home. God is good, and he is faithful. Hallelujah. Anybody in here believe like that? Come on now. That means no matter what happens, even before you have your cup of coffee. I know that's preaching hard stuff right there. You can have joy every day of your life. Rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. In the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul, he actually tells the believers in Philippi, the people he wrote the letter to, he told them 16 times to have joy or to rejoice. Have joy or rejoice. Have joy or rejoice. Joy, rejoice. Joy, rejoice. Joy, rejoice. Just four chapters. He said it 16 times. Joy, rejoice. Joy, rejoice. Joy. Y'all getting the theme of my message today? Joy, rejoice. Joy, rejoice. Now, he wrote that letter to those believers from prison. So this guy in prison is writing a letter to those who are out of prison and telling them, you should be happy. I mean, you'd think they should write him a letter, right? Come on, Paul, you can make it. Don't quit now. Don't give up on us now. But instead, he's writing to these people, and apparently he has joy himself in spite of what he's going through and telling them out there, listen, you should have joy and you should rejoice. Joy, 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 16. Joy. Can I say it one more time? Joy, rejoice. Joy, rejoice. Joy. Well, what is he telling me? He said, listen, you should have joy. Actually, it says rejoice in the Lord always. And in case you didn't get it, again, I say rejoice. Now, that word rejoice means to rejoy. I mean, joy again. Joy again. That means literally if you just took what Luke 10 said and then in Philippians 4 said, he says to rejoice again. If you just thought about how heaven is your home, how God has forgiven you, you've been washed by the blood of Jesus. Heaven, amen. Heaven is your home. You've been forgiven. You've been redeemed. You've been made right with God. You have peace with God. That means you ought to be rejoiced every time you think about it. Hallelujah. Every single day, just wake up and go, woo, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah. Amen. Stay filled with joy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we read about some believers who are having very difficult circumstances in their life. Scripture says that they're facing persecution and they're broke. They're in deep poverty. So they're broke and they're persecuted. How many of y'all think those are two great reasons to shout and rejoice? I don't think any of us actually want that, right? Like, well, that they shouldn't be happy. Yet in the middle of that, it says that they gave generously and they had great joy at the same time. In the middle of deep poverty and great affliction and persecution, in the middle of all that, it said that they gave generously and they had great joy at the same time. That's crazy. I was thinking about this, and I thought about what the devil was thinking about as far as these people are concerned. Wonder what he's thinking. I've got them. I've got them right where I want them. I've cut off their supply. I've got persecution surrounding them. I mean, surely it's the Macedonian church. Surely they're about to quit. Surely they're about to give up. And right in the middle of when the devil thinks he's going to win against these believers, what do they do? Well, I'm going to be filled with joy today. And I'm going to bring the biggest check I ever brought in my life to church today. You know, you can confuse the devil with your response to his attacks in your life. He's like, now what's up with those people? I mean, I put the chokehold on them and they're laughing. I put the chokehold on them in their finances and they're giving. I mean, they're finding ways to give. They're just so filled with joy and filled with generosity in spite of their circumstances. Listen to me. If they can be filled with joy, you can be filled with joy. If Paul can be filled with joy, you can be filled with joy. You don't have to wait for the perfect circumstances to be filled with joy today. You can be filled with joy right in that wonderful, comfortable seat that you're sitting in with air conditioning blowing on you with perfect lighting. With a good-looking preacher talking to you at the same time. Just joking, y'all. Right, babe? Amen. All right, thank you. Hallelujah. You don't have to wait for the perfect circumstances. You can have joy in the midst of the greatest challenges of your life. Now, some of y'all told me some of the different teams that you like. We know you're on Team Jesus, but we should all be. But I'm an LSU fan, and so, you know, I was thinking about what it would be like if an LSU running back, you know, he's a freshman, you know, he's so excited to be on the team, and, you know, his first game of the year, maybe the first SEC game, you know, it's a big deal, you know. And so he had never gotten in a game before, you know, that means there's no scratches on his helmet, the jersey's pretty, you know. It's beautiful. Everything's just real nice. The grass smelling good. You know, the fans are out there, all that. So he shows up, you know, at the game, and coach is like, calls his number, you know, time for you to get in the game. And so, you know, he finally gets in the game, and he's in the huddle, and they call a play just for him. Whew, man, feeling right now. I mean, adrenaline's running. I mean, just like, whew, blood's starting to pump really good, sweating out in all kind of places and all kind of stuff. Forgive me. I mean, just all kind of that's going. He's just excited. He's thrilled. All this is going on. He gets in the game. They call a play for him. And boom, man, he's running, boy. He busts through the hole right there. He's running. But about 5-10 yards down the field, somebody just cleans his clock. Bam! Some of y'all would be happy about that too, wouldn't you? Bam, I mean, just knocks him out, lays him out on the grass. I mean, just lays him out. He gets up. He's got a stain on his jersey, right? Maybe got a scratch on his elbow, got a clump of dirt in his helmet. Come on, amen right there. Isn't that good? That's just good. It's godly. So, I mean, he's got dirt hanging off his helmet. I mean, he's just got all his, he gets up and he goes back to the sideline. He goes, Coach, I didn't know that they were going to hit me. I didn't know they were going to tackle me so hard. I mean, I just can't believe that this happened to me.
Nope. First of all, that's sad. No LSU player would act like that, right? Right. So, some of y'all are like, yes, they do. What do you think the coach would do?
Oh, my poor little baby. I hope your mama signed a release form.
What do you think he would do? He'd wipe him off, right? Slap him on the helmet a few times and say, get yourself together, boy. You didn't think you was going to get hit? We're playing football. You're going to get hit. Get yourself together. Right? Why? Because that's part of the game. Part of the game. Now, so many times as Christians, we live like we had no idea. We had no idea that there might be a rough day here and there. Actually, there's nowhere in Scripture that promises you that you'll never have a rough day. In fact, and I hate to give you this precious promise, the opposite is true. Jesus said, in the world, how many of y'all in the world? How many of y'all in your flesh today? I don't know what the rest of y'all in, but anyway. You shall have tribulation. You shall have persecution. That means it's going to happen, y'all. It's going to happen. The only way to escape it is to go to heaven. So we don't want anybody going just yet. Now do it. Nobody in here for sure. It's going to happen, right? So then, what are we going to do when we get hit? What happens when life deals its biggest hit to us? Or the enemy tries to bring a big hit to us. What do we do then? Do we whine? Do we complain? Do we get down? We're like, oh, my, I can't believe it. I'm never going back to church again. That word of life has no life. No, you need somebody to slap you in a loving way. You need somebody that can tell the truth to you. Somebody can tell you the truth. Say, look, you need to get up. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You need to have joy. In fact, in James 1:2, it says, count it all joy when you have tribulation. Count it all joy when you have trials. Count it all joy. The New Living Translation says, consider it an opportunity for joy. I would dare say that none of us, when challenges come in our life, go, oh, yes. What a great opportunity, right? All of us are like, oh, for real? Come on, man. I thought I was doing everything right. And if I do everything right, everything's going to be all right. Well, listen, if you serve the Lord, I will promise you this. In spite of difficulty and in spite of challenge, the faithfulness of God will win out in every season of your life if you'll keep trusting and keep believing in God and His Word. I like it when football players, when they get hit really hard, you know, even if they don't know what state they're in anymore when they get up. I like it when they just pop up really quick, like, whoo, yeah, like, yeah, that's good. And then they go back, sit on the bench and, you know, get some salt, smelling salt so they can wake up a little bit. When the devil or life deals its best blow to you, you ought to pop right back up. Say, you know what? That may have hurt, that may be difficult, but I'm going to keep my joy. Scripture says that the joy of the Lord, come on, y'all, some of y'all know this. The joy of the Lord is what? The joy of the Lord is your what? The joy of the Lord, one more time, the joy of the Lord is your what? If the joy of the Lord is what's going to keep you strong, then you can imagine what the devil's going to try to knock out of you. He's going to try to knock that joy right out of you. If you're supposed to serve the Lord with gladness, and he's going to try to get you to serve the Lord, if you're serving the Lord, he's going to try to have you sad and depressed about it. There's nothing worse than a sad or depressed greeter at a church. It's like, seriously, put a smile on your face and put a Tic Tac in your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love the way Milan Lefevre, a friend of mine, he said, if you're not happy serving the Lord, you're just not doing it right. If you're not happy serving the Lord, you're just not doing it right. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. That means at your home when you pray, you can get filled with joy. In your car, you can listen to praise and worship music, or you can turn it all off and just sing yourself and get filled with joy. Every time you come to church, you can get filled with joy. Every time you get together, just get filled with joy. Every time you sit around the table with your family, talk about how good God is and just get filled with joy. That means to be satisfied with the joy that He brings to your life. You know, amen. There's a song, you know, that I remember that says, Jesus is the center of my joy. Jesus is the center of my joy. All that's good and perfect comes from Him. All that's good and perfect comes from Him. There was a time in my life, it's years ago, but, you know, I was upset and I was sad about something, and that song just came up on the inside of me, and I was raised in church, y'all, so I know kind of all the old songs, and I just began to sing that song, and it helped give me perspective that, look, if Jesus is the center of my joy, and I keep Him at the center of my life, then nothing can mess with my joy. Think about that. If Jesus is the center of my joy, right, and I keep Jesus at the center of my life, then no matter what happens around me, I can still have joy in my life. I'll say this, that your joy can be your greatest testimony to unbelievers around you. Even when people come in here and they don't have a home church or they don't know anything about the Lord, maybe that's you today. I mean, you ought to be able to come in, or they ought to be able to come in, and they go, man, I don't know what's going on in here, but there's something living in here. There's some joy in this place. There's some life in this place. There's something going on in here, and I may not even be able to put my finger on it, but I want what they have. I want what they have. Consider it an opportunity for joy. When I was in college, I was dating a girl and didn't end up marrying this girl. Anybody ever date somebody that you thought they were it? Later to find out they was not it. And I thank God she wasn't it, because I found my it over here. Praise the Lord. She's more than it. She's something. Now I'll stop right there. All right, so anyway, eyes back over here. So I was dating this girl, and I thought she was it. We dated about a year and a half, and I mean, I thought, man, she's the love of my life. And I grew up, you know, like a third generation preacher, fourth generation preacher on each side, you know. So I thought, you know, I knew what I needed, you know. But the Lord knows what you need, by the way. I thought I knew what I needed, so I needed a woman who could sing. Everybody knows a preacher needs a wife that can sing, right? That way she can sing, and then I can preach, and then when I'm praying for people, she can sing some more. So I thought I needed a wife that could sing, and then I thought, you know, she's got to wear pantyhose, because that's all y'all look at me funny. Some of y'all raised in church, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You got. So I married a wife who doesn't sing. Well, she can sing, but she doesn't really. She doesn't sing, and she don't wear pantyhose, and thank God for both. Hallelujah. So. So I'm dating this girl, and I think she's it. You know, she's a good singer, and she loves the Lord. She's filled with the Spirit, you know. She wants to do the will of God for her life. I do, too. And so after we dated for about, you know, a year and a half, long story short, find out she's not the one for me, and we're going to have to break up. And so I'd come home from college, which is in Louisiana, which is where I'm at, and then she was in another state. She's somewhere else. So we're on the phone. We're on the phone. This is before, like, text, you know, email stuff all the time. We talk on the phone. Anybody actually remember phone conversations? Anyway, we're having a conversation on the phone. And so we're talking and, you know, come right down to it. You know, we got to break up. We got to break up. And if you ever broke up with somebody or had somebody break up with you that you loved, it's not like an easy thing. It's like a little pain right here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? All the men are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in it. Anyway, good luck with that, ladies. So I mean, we broke up, and I'm laying in bed, all right? I'm laying in bed, and I'm just crying. I mean, just crying. I know that's sad, but I was. I'm laying in bed. I'm just like. No, like when anybody cries, everybody knows when you cry, it ain't pretty. I mean, it's ugly. You ever seen yourself cry? This is just a side note. It's not really a main point. But you ever seen yourself cry? It ain't pretty. I mean, it's like, ooh. You ever seen anybody really pretty cry? You're like, oh, they was pretty. Now they is ugly. I don't know what happened to them. Sorry. All right. So anyway, I'm making the ugly face cry. So I'm crying tears, you know, whole thing, you know, and I'm thinking about how pathetic it is and how sad I, you know, it's amazing thing how sorry you can feel for yourself at times. So I'm feeling so sorry for myself, you know, sorry, I'm never going to find anybody. And, you know, don't believe the lie, by the way. I'm never going to find anybody and all that stuff. And so I'm laying there, and all these scriptures that I had heard and studied and even ministered on before started just coming up in my heart. Scriptures like, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Scriptures like, in his presence there is fullness of joy. Scriptures like, you know, count it all joy. And I'm thinking, well, that's really inappropriate. I thought that was actually mean of the Lord to bring up scriptures to me that I don't really want right now. I want scriptures like Jesus wept. You know, I want those kind of scriptures like, you know, sorrow may last for the night. Like, you know, I'm going to listen to some country music, watch a sad movie, and cry and eat a gallon of ice cream all at the same time. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? But all these scriptures start coming up in my heart. And so, you know, I started saying them. Joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy of the Lord is my strength. In his presence there is fullness of joy. I started saying those things, and I started getting excited. I felt joy just kind of bubbling up on the inside of me. I put a smile on my face. I got up out of my bed, started dancing, rejoicing, shouting. I started running around my bed, getting all happy. I tell you, in the middle of the darkest time of my life up to that point, I had the most joy I'd ever had up to that point. So many times we think, well, man, things are difficult, things are challenging, and if everything turns around, I'm going to get happy. I'm telling you, don't wait for things to turn around. Jesus has already turned things around for you. Hallelujah. Put your faith in him. Believe him. Hallelujah. And let his joy fill you up on the inside. There's a strength that comes from joy that comes from Jesus. Psalm 15:11. I want to read this to you. Psalm 15:11. New King James, it says, these things have I spoken to you, Jesus is saying this, that my joy might remain in you and your joy might be full. Now catch this. What is he saying? These things have I spoken to you that my joy. Whose joy? Y'all can talk back to me. Whose joy? Jesus' joy. Jesus' joy might remain in who? People he's talking to, right? And that whose joy? Your joy might be full. Amplified Bible says it this way. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you and that your joy, I love this, that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. Anybody like that up in here? What kind of joy do you say you're going to have? Full measure, complete, and overflowing joy. Full measure, complete, and overflowing joy. What kind of joy? The same kind of joy that Jesus has. He says, that's going to be your joy. Sometimes we have a wrong picture of Jesus. We don't think that he was ever happy, ever laughed, or ever had any joy. You know, if he told his disciples that he was going to give them his joy, and he never had joy, what do you think their response would be? Jesus, but you don't ever have any joy. We actually don't want your joy. You're so sad and depressed, and the weight of the world is on your shoulders so much, and dealing with us, especially, you know, Peter, James, and John, those guys, I'm dealing with all the other disciples. I know you're dealing with stuff all the time. We can see it on your face, and you got wrinkles everywhere, and you're just always upset and disturbed, and just, you know, Jesus, we, you know, you can give us a lot of stuff, but just don't give us your joy, because we know you don't really have any. No, they wanted what Jesus had. And if he said, my joy I'm going to give to you, they're like, woo! We're going to have the same joy that Jesus has, a complete, overflowing joy. That's the kind of joy that we're going to have. I want that joy. Sign me up now. He said, my joy, I'm going to give to you. My parents used to have this picture in their house, and it's a picture of Jesus. And there's a lot of wonderful pictures of Jesus that have been drawn and painted and all that stuff. But they have one picture of Jesus, and it's a picture of him smiling. And you don't see that picture of Jesus in very many people's house. He's smiling. And this is the picture. It's like a side shot like this, and he's doing this. I mean, he's like kick back, teeth showing, head back, like happy, full of joy. And some people see that, they go like, oh, man, what's up with Jesus? I mean, doesn't he know how serious everything is in the world today, you know? Can't they understand what's going on in the world? But Jesus has joy. Jesus has joy. In fact, Hebrews says that he was anointed with the oil of gladness. He was anointed with the oil of gladness. Literally, he had the Holy Spirit upon him, and that Holy Spirit helped him do a lot of things, but that oil of the Holy Spirit gave him joy to do what his Father had called him to do. Listen, whatever God has called you to do, hallelujah, if you'll yield to him and his Spirit and to his Word, he'll give you the joy which will produce strength so that you can do what he's called you to do with a smile on your face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Picture Jesus with a smile. Then try it yourself. Hallelujah. I want to read you a few scriptures out of Psalms. Psalm 5:11. These are all really good. And you can just write them down if you're taking notes. Psalm 5:11 says, but let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. The Message Bible of that same verse says, but you'll welcome us with open arms when we run for cover to you. Let the party last all night. Can y'all believe the Bible says something like that? The next part of the verse says, stand guard over our celebration. So what is the picture that we're getting here? Is that God is watching over us as we are celebrating the joy that we have in him. Praise God. Psalm 35:27 says, let them shout for joy and be glad who favor my righteous cause. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Psalm 32:11 says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you that are upright in heart. Shout for what? That means it's not like a, It's like a woo! Am I making you nervous yet? Okay, good. Message Bible says it this way. Celebrate God. Sing together, everyone. All you honest hearts, raise the roof. Not in the club. Don't sing the rest of the song to yourself. Raise the roof. What are you talking about? In the house of God, among the people of God, there should be a celebration of his goodness. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, sorrow may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Sorrow may last for the night. That means you may be dealing with something right now, naturally in your life, circumstances, but there is a joy that comes from God, and there is an end to this thing that he's promised that if you'll hold fast to and you'll believe him, there will be a fulfillment of what he has promised in your life. And I have good news for you. It's morning time right now. I said it's morning time right now. And by that, I mean this. Jesus has already come. He has already paid the price for your sin. He has already made a way for you to have fellowship with God, to have right standing before God. He's already made a way for you to have peace with him and peace in every area of your life. He's made a way for you. The morning has come. Jesus has made a way. I promise you this. If you put your faith in him, trust him, keep him at the center of your life, your joy will stay full. Praise God. Why don't we take 30 seconds and let's actually get excited about it. You want to raise your voice, rejoice? Say, I'll give you 30 seconds. Y'all ready? Who want to do it with me? Anybody want to do it with me? All right, lift your hands up if you want to. Come on. Lord, we just bless you today. We rejoice in your goodness. We rejoice in your faithfulness. We put our hope and our trust in you. We put our faith in you, Lord. We rejoice in you. You are the God of our salvation. Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. We receive joy out of the wells of salvation, Lord. All of the things that you have provided for us. All of the things that you've made a way for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. All the blessing that you have provided for us through your son. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that your goodness, your faithfulness, hallelujah, oh, is abundant and abounding in our life today. So, Lord, we keep you at the center of our joy. Even if we drove here today and our car broke down or we got bad news on the way or this week was the worst week of our life, we can still choose to have joy because Jesus is Lord. Heaven is our home. Hallelujah. And you are good and your mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, for it today. Whoo, praise God. Let me pray for you today. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me pray for you. Lord, we thank you today that you are faithful. We trust you. We depend upon you. We rely on you. Lord, I thank you that the good work that you have begun in our life, you will bring it to full completion. Lord, my prayers for every individual, every family, every person that's represented here in this place, that today, first and foremost, Lord, they'd put their faith in you, Lord Jesus Christ, and your joy would become their joy. And Lord, for every believer, Lord, that we'd keep our focus on what it should be on, which is on you, on your word, on what you have promised. And we know that we will stay filled with joy, filled with strength, and fulfill what you've called us to do in Jesus' name. I'll agree with that shout. Amen. I love you.